bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good day, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Today, my friends, we are preparing for the Christmas season, and for those of you who are out there listening within a prison cell or a prison auditorium, we pray that you will one day get released and come home to be with your loved ones for the Christmas season. And this is a great wish that many of our inmates really have, to be home once again, to spend time with their families, their children, their spouses, their siblings, and to be back once again into their own homes. So we just pray that God will bless those who are deserving of that opportunity to come home to be once again integrated within the family that they left due to incarceration. And as we prepare for today's show, we are currently working with a gentleman. If you recall, last week we had his mother on talking about some of the challenges that she had within the family circle for her son, who was incarcerated for 6 years and who is now preparing for parole. And we pray that he will be blessed with an opportunity. And so one of the things we do in the WINGS program is to help men to prepare to come home. And to do that successfully, one of the things they have to do on the inside is to remain free of infractions, no blemishes at all, because those can only work against you and work against your credibility, and they present more challenges for us to succeed in getting a favor from the court or from the parole board. And so as we prepare for this gentleman to come home with the help of our Lord Jesus Christ, we really put it all into his hands, and we pray that, you know, he would be inspired to do the right things day in and day out amidst the challenges that you would have within prison. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. But in preparing for that opportunity for the parole board, we really have to make sure that as men and women who are incarcerated, we have to take advantage of every opportunity that is offered to us to get education within the facility itself. And so for some of our people who are on the inside, they're first and foremost getting GEDs, you know, a high school diploma, which is so important. And it's really your ticket to learn. Beyond that, people are getting masonry certifications or plumbing certifications, a chef's license, and some people are even going on for 2 years of college, depending on the facilities opportunities offered within, you know, the state. So with that, we just acknowledge that every person who's incarcerated has an opportunity to put their time to good use and to make something good happen with the time that they've been incarcerated, the years they've been incarcerated. I remember working with a man many years ago at a facility who was on death row and actually got a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in Christian counseling while on death row. And truly, he had an opportunity to make good use of his time, which was really 22 hours a day in a cell, 24 on the weekends. So this is, you know, a good example of what one can do within a prison cell. And we know, you know, there's many other things that can be done, like working out in the gym. and also attending church services. But education is very important in preparation for work, to provide and to help one to provide for their families once they come home. So within an action plan for the future that we actually create for each and every inmate, we're focused heavily upon education and work so that we can provide as men, as fathers and husbands for the people who depend on us to bring the groceries home, if you will, pay the rent, pay the mortgage, pay for transportation or tuition and food, which is so important. So this is, you know, one of the great objectives in the WINGS program. And currently, you know, again, we're working with this one man who has now graduated underneath the WINGS program. And his parole board hearing is coming up soon. He now has been given the benefit of the WINGS program in his package, which will be assessed and evaluated by the parole board up at SCI Rockview. And with that, we've done all we can do to help him to come home. But it's not without, you know, saying that the inmate himself has done 100% in the last 2.5 months. He's really put forth a great effort to respond to the call, if you will, in the WINGS program by listening and participating in each and every session of the 20 sessions. He's done every writing assignment, and he has created an action plan for the future for the first month of reentry. The first two years after being released and paroled, and also a five-year program. He's also taken the time to write letters of apology to touch the hearts and minds of his own children, which is so important. When was the last time, my friends, you or I took the time to write a heart-touching letter to our children who may be, you know, astray or separated from us because of work or other issues? But he has taken it upon himself to follow our directions, and he has written many letters to his mother, his father, and to his siblings, as well as his children. And he is 33 years old, my friends. He's not a teenager. So just so you know that, you know, it's not easy for men to come on board with what the Lord is saying. But this gentleman has done a great job of inspiring me personally, as he has demonstrated that he is a man of faith and he is open to the Lord leading the way. And he has really put that in writing in different ways. And I just tell you that it's a blessing to see a man change after 6 years of incarceration, to see a man change after he has been convicted of a felony and domestic violence. To see men change is a beautiful thing, and it brings me back to St. Paul, who made great changes because of the Lord's, you know, mercy towards St. Paul and giving the opportunity for conversion of the heart. And with that, we all have that opportunity because of the Lord's mercy. And so I just tell you that we are blessed to be in a position to be under the Lord's umbrella of mercy, which is so powerful. And the Lord demonstrates that to us time and time again with his unconditional forgiveness. And every time we pray the Our Father prayer, my friends, you know, the Lord wants us to remember that we are to forgive others as he forgives us. It's not a one-way street. We have to be open to unconditional forgiveness. He wants us to be peacemakers and not hold bitterness or hostility towards other people. He loves when the peace comes, and he's challenging all of us to really have the humility to bring the peace. And on that note, this gentleman we're talking about, who is at SCI Rockview, is better known also as a peacemaker in that facility. He helps to bring the peace amongst other inmates, which is a beautiful thing in a bold and abrasive situation. And he's able to do that because he has the leadership qualities to make it happen. And God has blessed him with those opportunities. And so as we move forward in today's session, we want to just focus on the fact that when you do come home from recovery, from recovery program or from incarceration, we've got to create some direction. And some people don't have direction. So we have to make it happen. We have to kind of treat it like an airplane, you know, that's available. Where should we go today? Where should we, you know, fly to today? So we take out a chart, a sectional chart, and we look at the opportunities we have, the options before us, to go anywhere that we would like to go. And so in life, when people come home from addiction programs or from incarceration, sometimes they need to make decisions that create direction. They have to make choices that are good for them. And in the WINGS program, you know, we want to, you know, we don't want to stagnate. We want to be growing. So we want to, you know, make those decisions count. Every decision is important. And one of the ways, you know, we do that is by putting it up against, you know, a couple of things. Number one is, what I'm about to do align with what God says to do, or is it opposed to what he says to do? Number two, is it good for my wife and children? And number three, is it good for me? And so let's review. If it's good for me, that's great. But if it's not good for my wife and kids, I should not be doing it. If it's not aligned with what God says to do and puts me in the not-to-do zone, I shouldn't be doing it. So the decision-making process becomes easier and easier. It becomes more clear, crystal clear, for those who have challenges in making decisions. And there'll always be temptations that get in the way of making that right decision. You know, there's money, power, prestige, drugs, alcohol, sex, all kinds of things get in the way of making the right choices. But it's the consequences of that decision that we have to role play out. Do we really want to be in prison again? Do we want to have a parole violation? Do we want to break probation and serve more time? To add time onto the time that we already have in our parole. This is where we have to be absolutely clear on what we're doing, who we're spending time with, whose car am I getting into, who's coming into my home, how am I making my money? Is it on the books paying taxes, or is it off the books paying no taxes? Is it stealing? You have to make that choice, my friends. And as we come home from incarceration, we have to really, you know, do the right things with earning money is concerned. There are people depending on us, and very often people go away. And because there is no income, their families are in jeopardy. People are living on the state. People's homes can be foreclosed on. And there can be all kinds of consequences that are all negative. So the goal is to avoid regression, you know, and bring ourselves back into prison walls. Very, very important. So we want to create direction that is something that we really want to do. We thought about it, and we make a great decision. And very often people are in a very casual mindset when they come home. You know, and they might use the wrong phraseology and terminology in making decisions. For instance, if I want to go to school in September, I could say it this way. I might go to school in September. Maybe I'll go to school in September. I could do it. I really should do it. But I'm going to hold off till January. I'm going to postpone it. And in this situation, I've got indefinite feedback. I have basically stagnation. I'm making no decision. In the Wings program, we want that attitude, which is called a will and must attitude. I will do it because I must do it. And I must do it right now. I've got to set some deadlines and not to be missed. And I've got to move forward with those opportunities. But I will do it because I must do it. Regression is not an option. Stagnation is not an option. So if you're around people who are using that phraseology where I really should do it, I could do it, but I'm going to postpone it for another 6 months. And basically, that's how you end up in the same place this next year, this same time. And you're on that flat line. We want to be on a growth line where we're growing each and every day, each and every week, each and every month, and each and every year. And this is an important aspect of the Wings program, to motivate individuals to change their attitude. Sometimes people are sleeping late and they're not getting up early looking for work. And they are in a lazy kind of a mode and a mindset. We've got to change that. We've got to be ambitious. We've got to be up and around at about 7:30 and ready to go by 8:30, 9 o'clock, and looking at job interviews all day, doing whatever we can to put food on the table, to establish ourselves in our financial stability, our credibility with the banks, with our family members, and to just continue to move forward in the purchase of a car, a home, and to get married, all good things. But I will do it because I must do it. And this is important. And sometimes people also get into a position where they are, not humble enough. They have no humility. And the ego and pride is in the way. And we want to get rid of that ego and pride. And this is where we have to go to the Lord for strength, for humility. It is no more humble a person than our Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, who is the Lord our God, who came into the world 2,000 years ago through the birth canal of our Blessed Mother Mary, and was really at the focal point, the creation of our Holy Family. And our Lord humbled himself to become a child once again. He humbled himself to die on the cross. He humbled himself to take the worst beating in the history of mankind. You know, as we look back, we know that the Lord could have stopped it all. But he was humble enough. He had the humility to follow the plan of our Father in heaven. And this is important. And our Blessed Mother Mary, also, who was part of the Father's eternal plan for salvation, to bring the Lord into the world, was humble enough to say yes to the Father's plan. Be it done to me according to your word. She cooperated for the love of God. She cooperated. Mary gave her all to fulfill the plan that our Father had created, which included the birth of Jesus, which is something so important that we prepare for it year after year after year. We relive the birth of Christ, which is an important event that sets world time apart from everything else. The birth of Jesus. And this week is a great week because we are preparing for Christmas and the birth of Jesus. We reflect on the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and the challenges that they had with the people who are opposed to the message of Christianity and Christ. The people who take an opposite position. We see them today as atheists and agnostics. People who have challenges in accepting the will of God. They want to be God, but it's not to be, my friends. And you may be in the company of people that way, and just remember that the Lord is the most humble person that there ever was, who allowed many things to take place because he knew he had the ultimate control. And he knew that he would bring good out of bad to glorify our Father in heaven. Through the birth of Christ, 33 years of life the Lord had, and 3 years of ministry from age 30 to 33. And then he was put to death on a cross. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and he proved that he is more powerful than death itself. He has the power to overcome death itself. Only the Lord can do that. And this is where we want to acknowledge, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ and the coming, the reliving of his birth each and every year, which is such a beautiful time, a beautiful season to reflect on the goodness of God, our Father, who gives us our Lord Jesus Christ through our Blessed Mother Mary's birth canal. And he gives us that holy family structure as a role model for family life. At a time in our world today when we have an abundance of divorce, an abundance of people living together, an abundance of same-sex marriage, we have opposition to the message of family life. But you and I, my friends, must bring that same message out to the people, especially to the children, so they can get it straight the first time, so they're not drawn into the wrong way to go. God's word makes it clear that we are to create families. A man shall leave his mother and father and join his wife, and the two will become one flesh. They will be fruitful and multiply. This is the message of family life that God gives us. And so the Holy Family, as we prepare for it, this Christmas season once again shows us how to live our lives and to strive to care for one another in a marriage, to have children, to bear children, which is so challenging for a woman who has to carry a child for 9 months, change the shape of her body. And today we still have abortion laws in place that need to be challenged, need to be overturned, so that we can support life itself and the gift of motherhood, which is the producer of life. This is important. And my friends, for those of you who are coming home from prison or recovery homes, thank God today that you're able to do it, because many have gone before us and have not been able to come home. Many have overdosed. Many are serving life in prison and will never come home. So if you have that opportunity to do the right thing, please set yourself as an example to those around you. Create a circle of good people for your children to protect them from the things that you and I know will take them down. Every year, thousands of children, you know, suffer from overdose of drugs. This is important that we avoid these kinds of things, as well as incarceration, DUIs, car accidents, and many, many more things that, you know, sets people back. And as we prepare once again for the Christmas season, we thank God today for the blessings of obedience that God has promised an oath to our fathers. From the book of Deuteronomy, those blessings are powerful. God will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb, your children. He will bless you in your work, my friends, and in the homeland that he has promised to give you. God has many promises. If you and I can be obedient to what he has requested us to do. It's a big word to be obedient. It requires humility to be obedient. A lot of our men and women who are incarcerated are there because they were not obedient. But today we have opportunity to make a decision to turn that around and to be obedient to our Father in heaven, to our Lord Jesus Christ, and to come on board with his way of doing things, his way of thinking. And the Lord says this from the book of Psalms, "Be still and know that I am God, and he is there for you and for me." He is always there, but we have to sometimes be still and stop running around. Very critical that for our men coming home, that we get this straight, because one parole violation will bring you back to prison. One bust of probation, one poor decision, being in the wrong company one evening will send you back to prison. These are important decisions that we have to make as men and women who are coming home after incarceration. Because the goal in the Wings program is to have 100% success in reentry. No regression. This is not an option. We want to live a good life. Be once again in the lives of our children as husbands and fathers, wives and daughters. God wants us to succeed in reentry, but we have to listen and be attentive to what he is saying and not ignore the word of God, but to integrate it into the action plan for the future that God calls us to live out. And for the gentleman that we have prepared a five-page document for the parole board at SCI Rockview, we pray right now that God will bless him with an opportunity once again to come home and to be in the lives of his five children and to be a master of turning good out of bad. Like the Lord in the crucifixion to the resurrection, we pray that just this gentleman will make some good things happen and that he will be focused and committed and dedicated to doing the right things forever. He'll be 33 when he comes home. He's got another good 50 years of good living. But it's all up to him to make these decisions. My friends, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. My name is Joe Montone, your host. We've only got a few seconds left, but before we go, I want to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas and a very happy and healthy New Year. May God bless you and keep you. Have a great day, and God bless. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio. God bless.